It's Wednesday, 26th of November 2014. This is HPR episode 1648 entitled Bash Parameter Manipulation, and is part of the series Bash Scripting. It is hosted by Dave Morris's and is about 41 minutes long. Feedback can be sent to dave.morris@gmail.com or by leaving a comment on this episode. The summary is a summary and aid memoir of Bash parameter expansion methods.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello, Hacker Public Radio. This is Dave Morris. Today I'm bringing you a show which I'm calling Bash Parameter Manipulation. So let me set the scene a little bit. I'm a keen user of the command line. I tend to live mostly in the command line or in a web browser, or possibly an editor. And that's largely, the command line's largely because that's all there was back in the days when I first started using computers back in the early 70s. In fact, in many cases, there wasn't even that. It was punch cards or something like that. But so I tend to think in terms of commands that I type to a computer a lot of the time. And in those days, the commands were pretty primitive, nowhere near as flexible as they are now, but they did have the concept of being able to put commands in a file which you would then be able to execute, and that's what we now call a script, but in those days it was called a job command language file or a macro in some contexts, various other names I'm sure that I've not come across. So the concept of a script of a bunch of commands in a file means that you can effectively use the command line, the commands that are available to you in the command line, as a type of program. Now these things use what are often called variables or parameters to hold data for intermediate use. So you'd store something in there and then use it and then discard it. So what I want to talk to you about today is this business of parameters or variables, and I want to do that in the context of the Bash scripting language. Bash is the name of one of the Unix shells available to you on a Linux system. It stands for Born Again Shell, which is a play on words because it comes from the original shell, SH, and it was rewritten by a guy called Born. So Born Again Shell is a sort of rather rubbish joke. Anyway, it's part of the GNU project, and it's generally available, and it's pretty popular, I would say. Certainly the shell that I use. I guess I'm jumping in somewhere in the middle of Bash here. You might be asking, well, why aren't you talking about Bash from the beginning? Well, there are a number of shows that talk about using shells, particularly Bash, I think, in the HPR archive, and I've put details of these in the show notes. I did consider starting a whole series on this, and maybe I'll start in the middle and then begin again at the start or something like that. I don't know. It depends how enthusiastic I feel about the whole thing. But the reason I'm doing this particular show is because the Bash shell has got some quite sophisticated features in it, currently, the current release, which I suspect a lot of people don't know about. Obviously, I would imagine most advanced Bash users do know about these, but I wouldn't class myself as particularly advanced, and it took me a while to discover these and to fully understand what they were about. And what I tend to do when I find something like this and need to get my head around it is to write stuff down for my own consumption, maybe something I can stick up on a pin board to remind myself, or have a cheat sheet available in a folder that I can look at to remind me how to use a thing, something that condenses the information down into a minimal space. So what I've done for this show is to give you the two cheat sheets that I've constructed for this, one of which is really just a lift from the Bash man page, but I've reformatted it and put some emphasis in it and so forth, and put it into a table where it's probably a little bit easier to read. And the other thing I've done is to prepare a diagram with examples of these various features. So I won't be referring to these again, but they're part of the bundle that I'm putting up on HPR to accompany this show. So I hope you find them useful. Otherwise, most of what I'm talking about is covered in the show notes themselves. In fact, you might find the show notes go into a bit more depth than I speak about, because I don't want to make this show too long to tell you about stuff that you can read. So I guess it's probably a good idea to start with just looking at what a variable is and how you work with them in Bash. I imagine most people will know this, but probably does no harm just to quickly whiz through this. So a parameter or a variable is a simple thing that holds a value. And you might type something like username equals followed by some string. The string actually can be enclosed in double quotes or single quotes, or it can just be a bare set of characters. You need to put quotes around it if you've got spaces in it. So username equals and then the string to set up a variable called username. There mustn't be any spaces before or after the equal sign. That's really important because the Bash parser will immediately stop parsing this as a variable declaration if it finds spaces here. If you then want to use this parameter that you've called username, then you can use it in an echo command or in various other places. My example shows it being used in an echo. You just precede the name of the variable with a dollar sign, and echo will print out the contents. So there's an example in the show notes of how you would do this. There are times when the variable name and the string that you're trying to embed it in, perhaps, it's hard to tell where one ends and the next begins. And in those cases, you can put curly brackets, or otherwise known as braces, around the name of the variable after the dollar sign. So this would be dollar sign, open curly bracket, username, close curly bracket. And that makes it completely unambiguous. And you do need these braces when you're doing some of the tricks with variables that I'll be talking about. The other type of variable that I'm sure people know about, but again, is worth maybe skipping through fairly rapidly, is an array. It's possible to define an array in Bash, array being a structure which contains multiple pieces of information. And the simplest form of this is an array which is indexed by integer numbers starting at zero. You can either declare this as a bracketed list. So my example shows weekdays equals open bracket. This is a round bracket. I'm trying to be consistent with the naming for these things. I know there are differences between the UK and the States as to how these things are named. A parenthesis, shall we call it. Open parenthesis, Monday space, Tuesday space, Wednesday, etc. throughout the weekdays. And then close parenthesis. That will declare a variable, an array variable called weekdays, which contains elements which are indexed as 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, and each of these points to a specific weekday name. You can, if you wish, declare these things My second example is a weekend square bracket 0 equals quote Saturday quote. What that does is to declare an array called weekend, the first element, the zeroth element of which is the string Saturday. So that's a very simple and quick definition of what arrays, how you would create an array. There are other types of arrays. There's associative arrays, which are hash tables, which can be indexed by strings in Bash as well, but I'm not going to talk about those. So when you want to refer to an array, here you have to actually use the braces that I was mentioning before. So if you wanted to display the contents of the array weekdays indexed by 4, then you would type echo space dollar brace, opening brace that is, weekdays square bracket 4, close square bracket, close brace. You can see this in the show notes. So that would get you that specific element, and that would report it. An entire array can be echoed or printed or used in various contexts, and in that case the index that you use is an at sign or an asterisk. They do have different meanings, but I won't go into those just now. So I'm mentioning these because the examples that I'm going to talk about will use simple variables and arrays. So one of the things you often see in scripts is maybe setting a variable. So I've got an example under the heading manipulating parameters where a variable called date is being set to 2014-10-27, all enclosed in single quotes. So you might set it to a value like that, just a literal string. There are other ways that you can set variables to the result of expressions as well. So the next statement in my example here is month. I want to extract the month value from a string like this. And so that consists of a statement that says month equals. Now here we have an example of setting a variable, month, to an expression. In this particular case, it's a little set. It's a couple of commands, a pipeline of commands, which will produce a value and will return it. And what you often see is a thing like this, dollar sign, open parenthesis, echo dollar date. So that will cause the date string to be output to standard out. And then a pipe symbol, a vertical bar. Then you pipe that into the command cut minus F2. That means get field number 2, which is the one, the 10. It's 2014-10. And minus D, open quote, hyphen, close quote, close parenthesis. What that says is cut second field where the fields are delimited by hyphens or dashes, however you like to call them. So that is a way of doing this, and then you'd follow that with an echo which says the month number is dollar month, and you would get back a 10. But doing it that way means that you've had to invoke an echo, you've had to invoke a cut in a pipeline to extract the relevant piece of information. This has caused a whole bunch of processes to be fired up to do a pretty simple thing, picking a couple of characters out of a string. Now you can do this within Bash itself without the overhead of creating processes. And there's a feature called substring expansion within Bash, where you would specify month equals dollar open brace date colon 5 colon 2 close brace, where what that's doing is it's going to the fifth element starting from 0, indexing the string from 0, and grabbing 2 characters from that position. So that sets the variable month to the characters of date from position 5 for 2 characters, and it achieves the same thing as the echo date cut that I mentioned before. And it does it a lot more efficiently. Now, you may be saying, well, who cares about efficiency? I've got an Intel i7 machine on my desktop, and it's got more power than I ever use. Why do I care about this sort of thing? Well, I believe that it's a good practice to be thinking about these things when you're writing scripts, because the day will come when you're trying to write a script to run on a Raspberry Pi or something even less powerful than a Raspberry Pi. And you will find, you might find, that the overhead of running something that creates processes to do this will be such that it becomes very slow, especially if you're doing it a lot. And so thinking about the efficiency of these things is quite an important thing to do. It's certainly part of my history working in the Unix world for a large number of years, back to the days when they were probably a lot more feeble than a Raspberry Pi. So let's cut to the chase then. The various functions I'm going to talk about, they have names, or at least they have various titles in the Bash Man page. You won't find these in some of the online resources, but I'm using them just as a convenient way of referring to them. So let's start with the one that's called Use Default Values. In this case, when you are substituting a parameter, you're expanding the parameter, then you can test to see whether it's defined or is null, or whether it actually contains a value. So I've got an example here where the first line says unset name. So we've got a variable called name. We're unsetting it. We're removing it. We're deleting it totally, assuming it exists. This is followed by echo dollar open curly bracket name colon hyphen undefined close curly bracket. What that says is, if name is defined, then echo its value. If it's not defined, then provide the word undefined. Now, because we've just unset it, this particular expression will return undefined. So that's a way of testing whether a value is set or not in a script. So if we continue and set the value, I've got an example here that sets it to the name Charlie, then we echo it, then using the same expression as before, then we see the value Charlie returned. Next we have the one called assign default values. Now this is a similar sort of idea, except that it sets the variable to a value. So I'm using here a variable called page, and I start by unsetting it to make sure that it doesn't exist. Then echo dollar open brace page colon equals portrait close brace. What that's doing is, if the value is not set or it doesn't exist, then set it to the string portrait, assuming that this is something you're using as a page orientation value in a script. So in this particular case it's not set, so the result would be returned as a portrait. If we then echo it, so the next line says echo dollar page, then it contains portrait. So not only was it recognized that it wasn't set, but it was set to that particular value. So if we now set it to new value landscape, which is the next line, then do the same expression again, then the result is landscape. It's not portrait at all, because the test, is it set or is it null, came back as false. So therefore we just use the value of it, and echoing it thereafter we get landscape. Now that's quite a useful thing to do in a script where you're maybe setting something from an argument and you want to give it a default if it's not been supplied. Next we have display error if null or unset. And this is another test which will produce an error and cause the script that's doing this test to exit if a parameter is not set. So this one, the example is echo dollar open brace length colon question mark. Then you follow that with the error message you want to produce, which in this case I've put length is unset close brace. This will produce an error message which contains somewhere. It will contain a prefix which talks about whereabouts in the script it's failed. I've not included that in my example. But you will get the name of the variable, length, followed by a colon, and the error message that I mentioned, length is unset. Next one is called use alternate value. And this one checks to see if the parameter is null or unset. And if it is, then nothing is substituted. Otherwise, it is. So the example, I think that makes sense, does it? The example says fish, the variable's fish equals trout, and then we echo dollar open brace fish colon plus salmon and close brace, and the result is we return the value salmon. So in this particular case, the parameter is not null and it's not unset, and in this case we return the value in the braces. But then the next line in the example shows echoing the variable fish, and it's still set at trout. I must admit, I never used that. Just off the top of my head, I can't think of many instances that I'd want to, but it's probably due to my lack of imagination more than anything else. So that's the bundle of functions which test for values and do various things as a consequence. The next one is called substring expansion, and I've mentioned this already briefly. It takes the variable, so you do dollar open brace name of parameter or variable colon, then a number, then another colon, and another number, close brace. What that's doing is it's the first value is an offset and into a string into the variable, and the second one is a length. If the length part is omitted, then it means just all of the string from that particular point, from the offset. A negative offset means to count backwards from the end of the string, but because that would result in the sequence colon minus, which we've already seen earlier on, you've got to put colon space minus if you're going to do this thing, in order to avoid being misinterpreted as the default value form. If you give a negative length, then it's not really a length, but it means to return the string between the offset and the position backwards from the end of the string, which is difficult to get your head around, I find, anyway. And you can also index sections of arrays with this stuff. So there's some examples here, which I'll go through quickly. I mean, hopefully you'll be able to follow them yourself. So if we set a variable animal to equal the string aardvark, then if we echo dollar open brace animal colon 4 close brace, then what we're saying is display the string from position 4 to the end. And remember that these are indexed from 0. So the fourth character, the index 4, is the V followed by the rest of the string, which returns vark. If we set a variable message to the string no such file, then echoing this message from position 0, 4, 7, will pick up the first 7 characters, which will be no such. Taking the same variable message and making the offset minus 4, then you will get the last 4 characters of the string, which is file. And echoing message with an offset of 3 and a negative length of minus 4 will pick up the word such, because 3 is the position of the S of such, and minus 4 counts backwards from the end of the string, so it will include, will skip over the 4 letters of file, reduce such. If you look at the next example, we set a variable which is an array to equal in parentheses the names red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, close parentheses. And if we then wish to index elements of this, we can do it with dollar open brace colors with an at in square brackets thereafter. So that means that's a way of indicating the entirety of the array, colon 1, colon 3. That means go to element 1. Remember, they count from 0, and return 3 elements. So that will return orange, yellow, and green. The next one is using the same colors array, dollar, open brace, colors, open square brackets, at, close square brackets, colon 5. What that means is go to element 5, which is indigo, and return all the rest of the elements. So it would just be indigo and violet. So this is quite powerful. You can do a lot of quite interesting things with this in a script. The next one, names matching prefix. Never really needed to use this, but like I say, it's probably due to my lack of imagination more than anything else. This is a way of interrogating Bash for the various variables that it knows about. The example I've given here, echo dollar open brace exclamation bash capital BASH asterisk close brace. What that's saying is return me all variables whose name begins with BASH. And there's quite a long list, I haven't listed them all out, but things like bash, bash ops, bash pid, these are all variables which if you look at the man page you will find described. The next example is simply an example of creating two variables called coord underscore x and coord underscore y, setting them to values. If I then wanted to find out what the names of these variables were, then echo dollar open brace exclamation coord C-O-O-R-D asterisk close brace returns the two names that I just mentioned, coord x and coord y. The next one's something a bit more useful. This is returning a list of array keys. It's actually more often array indices, but keys are the more generic term. Since, remember, there are indexed arrays indexed by numbers and arrays indexed by strings, which we didn't deal with earlier on. So here we're setting an array colors to equal the three names red, green, blue. And if we then provide the expression echo dollar open brace exclamation mark colors bracket bracket square bracket at close square bracket close brace, then we see the indexes, which are 0, 1 and 2. The next one is about the length of a parameter, and it can also be used with an array where it returns the number of elements. You might have seen something similar to this when you're looking at the arguments to a script. I'm not really dealing with the numbered arguments in this talk. So what we have here in terms of an example is a variable veg, VEG, equals set, being set to the string broccoli. If we then echo dollar open brace hash mark pound sign for Americans VEG close brace, we get back the length of the string, which is 8. Now the next example is a case where we are setting an array array DT equal to the result of a command. And so if I just read this out to you, dt equals open parenthesis, then follow that with dollar open parenthesis again date close parenthesis. What that's doing is the inner dollar parenthesized date invokes the date command, which returns a string which consists of the various bits of the date, the day number and the year and so on and so forth. Forget the actual order, but you can try it yourselves and see. That's whole thing is enclosed in parentheses, which is a way of declaring an array. So what happens is each of the separate pieces, the six fields that are returned by a date, are dropped into this array because a space is the delimiter that Bash expects. So if we then echo dollar open brace hash sign dt, then open square bracket at close square brackets close brace. That again is, remember, this defines it as an array, and we're talking about the entirety of the array. then the answer comes back as 6. So it's a useful way of finding out how long an array is. So now we're coming on to some more interesting features for manipulating the internals of strings and arrays. This one's called remove matching prefix pattern. So this, as you might gather, removes characters from the front of a string. The general format is the name of the variable followed by a hash sign followed by a pattern that is to be removed. Now the pattern that's mentioned is similar to the sort of patterns you can use when you're searching for files on the command line in things like ls or whatever. So it can contain an asterisk, meaning an arbitrary number of characters, for example. Now, in my examples, I start off with setting a variable called dir equals to a path, a file path, in which case is /home/dave/some/dir. So if I then echo $dir, the variable name, /home/dave/close, what that's saying is from this variable, from this string, remove /home/dave/ from the front. Not too surprisingly, we get back the string sum/dir. If we did this differently and used the expression $dir **, what that's saying is the first number of any characters that are not a slash followed by a slash to be removed from the front. Well, there are no characters other than a slash on the front, so it just takes the first slash off and it returns home without, etc., without the leading slash. If, on the other hand, we use two hashes, which is the other capability of this particular function, then we would use $dir ***/. Then what that will do, it will remove all of the strings followed by a slash until there are no more. So that will remove everything until the last component of this path name. So this is similar to the built-in base name command that's available in Bash. And it's a more efficient way of achieving the same thing as base name. Personally, I prefer to use it for the reasons I mentioned before. If we have an array, and I've got an example here, where I'm setting an array colors equal to red, the names red, green, and blue, but each name has got an underscore on the front of it. So if I then want to strip these off, then I can set color and save them back into the array. I can set colors equals $colors *_ So what that's doing is it's defining colors as a new array. Array definition, remember, is in parentheses. And inside this array definition is this substitution pattern, which is $colors, blah, 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 *_. What that's saying is process each element of the array as it stands at the moment, strip off the underscore from the front of each character, and drop it back into the array. So if you then echoed the array, there's an example here, you will find red, green, and blue being returned without the underscores on the front. So that was the prefix, that was stripping prefixes. Then there's a similar one that removes suffixes from the ends of strings or arrays. This one also uses a pattern which can contain asterisks and other things, but I'm not going into details of that just now. But the difference is that instead of the hash, it uses a percent sign. So the variable dir is being set to the same thing as before. And if we then echo $dir %/sum/dir*, what that means is strip off /sum/dir from the end of it, and not too surprisingly, what we returned is /home/Dave. If, on the other hand, we echo the expression $DIR%/*, then what that's saying is remove from the end a slash followed by arbitrary characters, so that will strip off the /DIR from the end, giving you /home/Dave/some. If, on the other hand, we wanted to remove more from the end of the thing and do it in using the %, which is equivalent to the double hash, $DIR%%/sum/*, that will remove /sum/dir from the end of it, leaving you the string /home/Dave. So using this /*, /*, if you prefer, then you have a similar effect to the dirname command that is built into bash. So I gave another example, not using arrays this time, where it's quite a common thing to do, where you strip off the extension of a file name. So I've got a variable called file name, which I'm setting to great_view.jpg. So what we want to do is to change its name from .jpg to .png. So that can be done by setting file name equal to, and then a string in double quotes, $filename%.jpg.png. So what that will do is, it will take file name, it will strip off the .jpg, as we've seen, from the end, and then it will append to the what's left the string .png. So the result will be great_view.png. That can be a pretty useful thing to do. In fact, I use it sometimes using ImageMagick, the convert command in ImageMagick, so you can change the format of a file from JPEG to PNG using that sort of expression in the command. So the next one, and we're getting close to the end now, is pattern substitution. Now this is quite a powerful facility that lets you make substitution within a string. The general syntax is that the name of the variable is followed by a slash and a string, a pattern, followed by another slash and the name of the thing that is the string that is to replace it. So if we take my example, then I'm setting a message to the wonderful string, an ant is an ant. Don't know what possessed me to do that, but there you go. Then we echo $MSG/ant/insect, then it will return the string an insect is an ant. Okay, now that's pretty trivial. If you use a percent sign following the slash, then it matches at the end of the parameter. So you can have /%, which means something completely different than just a straight slash when you're doing the pattern matching. So I've got an example here where $MSG/%ant/insect doesn't change it to an insect is an ant, but it changes it to an ant is an insect. So it's changed the last instance of ant to insect rather than the first. Then if you use double slashes after the name of the variable, then it changes all instances of the pattern throughout the string. So I've got $MSG/ant/insect, and it changes the string to an insect as an insect. It's changed both instances of ant. You can do similar things with arrays as well. And there's an example in the show notes, which I won't go into because I think I've gone on a bit too long as it is. The final one then is case modification. So you can change the case of characters in a string. In this particular case, that's a bad pun. In this instance, you use an up arrow symbol which means change letters to uppercase. I was just trying to remember what that up arrow thing is called, but I can't remember. And you use a comma to indicate lowercase. So there's various examples showing how you can change the first character in a lowercase string to uppercase, or you can change all of the characters to uppercase, and you can also do specific pattern matches throughout the string. I used a pattern including a square bracketed list of characters to do character matching. Hopefully you'll be able to work that out from the example. This is quite lengthy, so I won't go into great details here. So that's the list. That's it. I hope you find it useful. What I would have liked to have done was to have given you some examples of using it, using these various features. But I didn't do that because I thought this was getting a little bit too complex anyway. But if you look back at one of my earlier shows, show number 1204, about some scripts I wrote to download music from the Magnatune website, as part of that, I produced a bunch of scripts which were put up on the Gitorious website, and I give links in there to these Bash scripts. They're all written in Bash. In those, you will find that I've used a fair number of these things, and they're also annotated. There's quite a lot of detail explaining what the various parts of these scripts do. So if you're up to poking around with the Gitorious site, you might find some stuff there that's quite useful. Okay, that's it. Hope you enjoyed it.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.